Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Moltek Packaging Limited Q2 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Manish Mahawar from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Faizan. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, I would like to welcome all the participants on the call of Moltek Packaging. From the management, we have Mr. J.S. Lakshman Rao, Chairman and Managing Director on the call. Now, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Rao for opening remark, post which we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Rao.
Thanks, Manish, and thank you all for participants who are interested in our company's performance. I'm glad to inform you that in spite of challenging times and extended monsoon, which generally impacts our paint industry demand, we could post a decent growth of 11% in terms of volume growth, though in rupee term it is higher by 14.4%. In volume terms, it is around 11% growth in the sales volume and about similar 11% growth in the PAT level, 10.5% to be precise, the PAT level. The main highlights of this quarter or rather improvements during the quarter were maintenance costs have shot up because semiconductor shortage in the automatic machines like printing lines and to some extent robotics and their non-availability has led to loss in productivity and sales actually. In fact, the demand is still better. We could have easily posted a 15% volume growth had we got the space and support in time. But unfortunately, worldwide, there's a shortage of semiconductors and electronic parts, spare parts or maintenance parts. Supply of printing machines have not come in as expected by us. Even machines which are supposed to be delivered in July, August are postponed to November and even December. But now we are taking trials of those machines. Hopefully by end of this month in November, we'll be having those printing capacities added, which would be able to provide us the necessary labels in time to cater to the growing demand. Another additional feature of cost increase is power cost. Unfortunately, both Telangana, Andhra, and even in Daman, there is an increase in power cost to the tune of 12%-15%, which on a cost of 7% of cost of manufacturing has taken a toll of almost 1% in terms of increase in costs. These two are major, and there is of course transport cost increase due to diesel price increase, which has also impacted subtly. In spite of these three costs or disruptions, I would say cost and disruptions, company could post a decent 11% volume growth and maintain an EBITDA around 41 rupees and hope to see that these hurdles are cleared once the new capacities are added in the month of November and December and look forward to a stronger performance in the coming quarters. This being said, I would rather like to go through the question and answers mode so that more clarity would come to you in terms of our performance and what you wish to know. Back to operator to start the question and answers, please.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from the line of Chandrika from Rika Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Hi. I have two questions for you. My first question is with respect to injection blow molding, IBM business. Now, the IBM business is a very competitive business with a lot of players in India. What special advantage does Moltech have in entering that business? Unlike IML, it's a very competitive business. Also, the pharma companies are currently buying their packaging material from other IBM suppliers. Why should they come to us? Why should they shift their suppliers to us? So what advantage do we have in entering the IBM business, and why should the pharma companies buy from us? That is my first question.
Yeah, you go ahead with the second one, or you want me to answer this?
Yeah, you can please answer.
Yeah.
See, in IBM,
yes, there are quite a few players. It's not that there are very huge players. Only a few, to my knowledge, are Sriji, Manjushri, Pravesha, Gary Shamer, and Gopal Das. The area where we are focusing is not only just in cosmetics, dairy, and food and FMCG, but also in pharmaceutical export market. In this market, majority of the manufacturers of pharmaceuticals are located in and around Hyderabad. Hyderabad is kind of a hub, I would say second or third hub in the country. And there is a huge expansion of 16,000 acres of land is being allotted to various multinational companies, including Indian companies, to manufacture pharmaceutical products here in Hyderabad. And those land allocations started in October this year. And hopefully within the next 2 years, those plants will be up and running. And apart from that, there is a huge value addition in these products, unlike ordinary cosmetic or food and FMCG IBM products. So that is the area where Moltech is planning to concentrate. And we have the wherewithal to process materials at a much higher, lower cycle times or higher productivity, which is a key for our success in the field of injection molding also. Having the tool room background, having the processing abilities, and nearness to the market, especially the pharma market, where the EBITDA margins are. EBITDA, I won't call. Let us talk about value addition is in the tune of 200 to 250 rupees per kg. So these are the points where we are concentrating, and we wish to penetrate and become a player of considerable size in the next 4 to 5 years.
Thank you. My second question is with respect to dispenser pumps. Our performance in dispenser pumps has been truly abysmal. I know the Dipro contract has been delayed a bit, but even taking that into account, our performance has been below par. That is another very commoditized segment. I don't know why you entered it. Last time I asked you the same question, you told me that it is because we have leak-proof, tamper-proof, leak-proof dispenser pumps, and so that clients will buy from us. But that has not happened. What is the outlook for dispenser pumps, and when will you improve your performance, and are we going to continue in the business? What is the outlook for the dispenser pumps over the next 2 to 3 years?
Yes, I agree and admit that dispenser pumps business is not at par with what we anticipated, because we started this mainly keeping Wipro in mind, which has a plan to set up a big plant in Hyderabad with a requirement of 2 to 3 million pumps per month, which is now just they are picking up 2 to 5 to 4 lakhs per month. So that sharp drop in Wipro's requirement has really impacted our performance in dispenser pumps. But now, of course, our pumps have been accepted by Himalaya and several other small players, but those volumes still put together are below 1 million per month, while the capacity created is close to 5 to 6 million per annum. As I explained in the previous call, these capacities are fungible. That means whatever is the investments that are made in the pumps, out of, let's say, 12 to 13 crores investments made, other than the specific molds that are meant for dispenser pumps, that is to the tune of, say, 2.5 to 3 crores, all the rest of the equipment are fungible with our food and FMCG products. So keeping that in mind, we are continuously utilizing those capacities for our other products. So if at all there is a hit on the company, it is to the tune of 2 to 3 crores of molds and assembly machine, what we specifically invested for the pumps. So having identified that this could be an area of not so great performance in future, we are holding it for a couple of varieties of pumps what we invested on and trying to break even and recover our costs of the investment.
Thank you. Mr. Chandika, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Saket Reddy from Pulasani Enterprises. Please go ahead. Mr. Reddy, your line is in talk mode. Please go ahead with your question.
Hello.
Yeah, Mr. Reddy, you're audible now. Please go ahead with your question.
Sir, any updates on the QR code arrival? Any more info?
Yeah, we have been asked by both Valvoline and Castrol for line trials. In the case of Valvoline, we already submitted the caps and QR code jars, and they will be able to come out with a proposal by end of this month. In the case of Castrol, from the top management, there is a request for us to prove the concept online. Those products also being produced. They wanted a cap to be having a QR code, not only on the jar. So we are getting that work done so that they will be want to link the both jar and cap. In fact, there was some problem in their supply chain where there were some proved cases of adulteration. So there is a concern now in their minds, and they have come forward now to take it a little actively. So hopefully in this quarter or at least end of this year, we may have one of these players starting into QR code.
And on regarding the AV Aditya Birla Group's Grasim's paint order. Regarding the product, can you disclose the capacity for the plant that you're putting up in Daman?
Not Daman, it is in Panipat. The Daman is an expansion
yeah,
for our
sorry.
Food and
yes.
Yeah, ABG has given a letter of intent for us to go ahead with setting up a plant at Panipat, and their initial projections for the year 2 is around 2,000 tons per annum. More details I can't share because they are also going with another supplier. So they will be having two suppliers at each plant. However, our portion is expected to be in the region of 1,500 to 2,000 tons from year two. The year two is 24-25. By November, October 23-24, that is October 23, we are expected to start commercial production there. And the numbers will stabilize in the year 24-25. And apart from setting up the plant only for ABG, we are also planning to have our food and FMCG product manufacturing in Panipat also, which will be able to cater to the northern clients who are huge in size. Like say Baddi is a very near point to Panipat. It is close to 300 kilometers, 250-300 kilometers from Panipat. So we'll be able to cater to those filling companies in and across the north region. For our entire dairy products, food products, ice cream products, packaging products, which we manufacture here in Hyderabad. So those facilities also will be set up in Panipat by end of the calendar year 23.
Right. All of the CAPEX programs that you've got regarding pharma and even paints, all of them are on track, right? There's no delays.
Right. Yeah, more or less on track due to machinery supply. See, everybody is talking about semiconductor shortage and all these automatic lines, all electric machines what we use, robotics, they all have somewhere or other semiconductors or electronic components. But of course, they are not hugely delayed, but definitely delayed. In the case of printing machines, which we ordered and supposed to come in August, in this month we are able to take trials and hopefully by end of this month the machine will be commissioned in our plant, and one more machine is supposed to come in September, October, is now coming in December. So, in fact, if you ask for machines now, they are talking about a one-year delivery period, but these two machines will adequately cover us for next 2-3 years, and notwithstanding with that, we are also planning a high-end technology machine, which will be able to cater to our kind of needs in a much faster way. So that machine we have selected and picked up. Some trials are going on it. If it is successful, the machine will be lifted right in December itself. So that will further enhance our printing, label printing capacity and take care of our next 3-4 years of capacity expansions. So that is one of the challenges we are having, machine supply in time. We have ordered several machines on Japanese Sumitomo. They are okay. They are, maybe they are asking few weeks here and there, but probably they will be in time, hopefully. Some of the machines are already on the ship. They will be coming by middle of December. And some of them are coming, which are supposed to come in Jan, maybe coming in Feb, March. So these challenges of machinery coming little late by a couple of months is something which is impacting the timelines. Otherwise, we are more or less on track. For example, the IBM OTC product, molds are at final stage of approval. After that, there will be at least one and a half month of delay for expanding the number of mold cavitation from currently we do for 2 cavities to 8 and 32 respectively. So that may take a couple of months, but they are on track. Coming to the pharmaceutical, we are supposed to start in the first quarter. Probably it may slip to April, May. That I already indicated in the previous quarter because of the machines coming in a little late by about a couple of months. So instead of January, they may arrive in March and commercial trials may start in April. So other than that, the plant at Daman land has been already acquired. Construction is yet to start, but that will start by May, June anyway. So that will be hopefully on track. And the plant in Sultanpur, where we are all, apart from IBM, we are also adding food and FMCG capacities. There we have taken adequate care and ordered those machines and robots much in advance. So they started coming in. So hopefully they'll be well in time for our season starting in March. So this is an update on the projects.
Right. And one last question, sir. The, you know, the 15% impact that we've seen on sales, is it for the overall revenue or is it only for F&F?
Oh, what you said 15% impact means?
The 15% due to the maintenance of the robots and during the quarter.
No, no, that what I mentioned is the cost of maintenance and cost of acquisition of labels in the absence of additional capacity is 15%. It's not the overall. So 15% of that cost. That means if our labels constitute, let's say, 4 to 5% of our cost, that cost has gone up by 15% due to the capacity being not created as the machines have arrived late, arriving late, and some of the electronic parts are not coming in time. So to the tune of 0.6%, that has contributed to the cost.
So you didn't have any, you know, issues in, you know, stakes during the quarter because of this?
No, we lost some sales. We lost some sales during this quarter because we could not supply the labels, IML labels. We could not get the IML labels in time because our machine maintenance, which required some electronic parts, they came late. Let's say earlier they used to come in a week's time, 10 days' time. Now it took about a month, month and a half to procure those spares. So the machines were lying idle longer. And then we are forced to buy these labels from outside. But as you know, there are not many players in IML label manufacturing. And they were not able to give quality or quantity in time. So we lost at least, I would not say 15%. 15% of our 23% of food industry is around 3 to 4% of sale we missed in the quarter because of this.
And just one more question. So, so the client additions this quarter, can you you know, sort of you know, tell more about the industries they cater to, because a bit newly heard names, Sherwin Exports.
Yeah, they're all new names. They're small and medium companies which we are adding rapidly. On the bigger side, more or less all the FMCG and food companies are with us already. So most of these names, what we have announced today in the BSE NSE report, most of them are old names. Any names of recognizable names from others? I also didn't notice, but as my knowledge goes, there are a couple of food and agro side, we are getting a couple of major players interested in it. But for that, majority of them are small and medium players in the food and FMCG.
Thank you, Mr. Reddy. May we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. We'll take the next question from the line of Vivek Tolat from Acme Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, you're clear.
Okay, so just a couple of questions. One on a bit more of a strategic side. I mean, I believe our total volume is going up from, let's say, 44,000 tons at the end of last year to about 70,000 tons by the end of next year. So out of this incremental 25,000-26,000 tons that we are adding, could you classify as to, you know, what would go towards thin wall and what would go towards paints and loops? I mean, just an overall classification if you have done something on this.
Yeah, I think we already put up that slide in the BSE website. While thin wall is around 4,700 tons, bulk packs and IBM, bulk packs about 2,600, IBM about 2,000 tons. So these are the plans for this year. That means about 11,500 tons will be added during this year in these three areas, thin wall, bulk packs and IBM. And coming to the next year, we will have that Panipat plant of IBG to be set up. And we are also in discussion with them for another plant. I can't disclose the quantities because we are not yet received LOI. So if that happens, that plant also need to be set up before end of 23-24. So next year, again, we will have about 4,000 to 5,000 tons of bulk packs expansion. And IBM will be, this is the first phase where we are starting with 2,000 tons. Probably, if not in pharma, in the other fields of IBM, there may be some expansions in the year 2023-24. So another 2,000 tons of IBM and about 4,000 to 5,000 tons of thin wall will be added. So another 11,000 to 12,000 tons will be added in these areas. And as per Asian Paints projections given to us, again another 2,000 tons of bulk fat production has to be added in Mysore and Vizag. So all this put together will be reaching our 24,000 to 25,000 tons of expansion during the next two financial years.
Okay, thanks, sir. That's very helpful. And my second question, sir, if you could throw some light on what sort of approval process do we need for the pharma IBM? I mean, is it as rigorous as the US FDA expansion, or, you know, is that already started? I mean, what sort of timelines are we looking for that?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's not equal to FDA, but it is definitely a rigorous process which will take at least 3 to 6 months from client to client. So I won't be projecting any big numbers even for next financial year. There will be some numbers to come in because by the time we start in April, then the approval process might take 3 to 6 months. So that means only by middle of next financial year, we'll be in a position to start commercial invoicing of pharma products. But not stopping with it. We have already acquired one major order from IDEX for OTC IBM products, the production of which is expected to start in Jan-Feb, probably in Feb. That will be adding numbers in the next financial year. If all goes well, in that the value order value is close to about 7 to 8 crores per annum. And we are also having some dairy products our clients are asking us to develop. And if those products orders also confirm in, they will be produced on the pharmaceutical machines because in the same premises, manufacturing other products is rather a luxury, but we would do that instead of keeping the machines idle. And hopefully those numbers also will be added in the next financial year. But coming to pharma in a big way, the numbers will start a little bit in the second half of next financial year, but definitely in a decent manner from year 24-25.
Okay, understood. Thanks a lot, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Janish Karya from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So if you can just help us with the volume and value numbers for IML, non-IML segment.
Yeah, IML, non-IML segments, as I told you, are more or less stable. Last Q2, it was 58.7% for all the labeled containers. Now it is 62.5, which is also similar to Q1, which was 61.8. So there is a marginal improvement in the total IML and labeled containers from 58.7 to 62.5.
And so value-wise, this was volume-wise?
In terms of value-wise, from 62.3 to 66.6.
And sir, if you can just provide a value-wise numbers for three segments, paints, lubricants and FNF.
Yeah, paints has dipped from 59% last year to 53.8%. But lubes have gone up from 19.3% to 22%. And food and QPAC, that is both come under food and FMCG, has gone up from 21.4% to 24.1%.
Okay, thank you, thank you. That's it from us. I'll come back in with you for more questions again.
Sure, thanks.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Harsh from Marcellus Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. A couple of questions from my side. So, my first question is on the balance sheet front. So, on FY21, our debtors stood at around 90 crores. That went up all the way to 143 crores in FY22. And in H1 FY23, it has again gone up to 158 crores. So why are we seeing this rampant increase in debtors?
See, debtors increase is related to sales, as you all know. And if you see 2 years ago, the raw material price were low and the sales number as per se was around 400 odd crores. Today, our sale numbers for the first half itself is close to 400 crores. For the full year, it may be 780 to 800 crores. So when you have doubled your sales, automatically debtor levels also will go up. That is one reason. And one of the other reasons for the increase in the debtors is, though we are restricting all the new clients to either advance payment or 30 days credit, older clients like Asian Paints and others, they are on the way to increase their credit period, not only for Moltec, but with all the suppliers. Other than SSIs. So we are committed to their philosophy, and that is where we are extending our credit. But when it comes to the new clients and especially small and medium clients, we are very strict about it. We are maintaining 0 to 30 days credit. That's what has made the credit debtors situation still under control. So 90 to 158 is mainly because your sales have gone up from 420 or 430 2 years ago to 800 or 780 this year. That is amazing.
And how much has Asian Paints increased its credit terms?
I can't give you exact details, but definitely they increased.
Okay, okay. And my second question was that in the paints industry, we have set up specific plants only for Asian Paints till now. And now we are setting up plans for Grasim. So Asian Paints has done well over the years, but however, what if Grasim doesn't do as well and we are faced with a plant which is not utilized to its optimum capacity? So what will be our plan of action in that regard?
See, as I told you, we are very careful in our assessment of setting up any new plants. And we also have a plan B, like producing our food and FMCG products in that region. So our selection of, fortunately, Grasim has a lot of faith on Moltec, and they have, in kind, I can't say that they've given us an option, but they were respecting our options, and they've given us Panipat, where we wanted to be in the north to cover our food and FMCG clients in that area, which is very far from Hyderabad, where we have these facilities as of today. So food and FMCG will be growing rapidly once we have a plant in north and able to capture those clients in that area. Similarly, we are also planning to choose another location if they offer, which is towards south and gives us more access to those markets. So that way we are prudent in our investments, and we'll have other products also other than just pails to make sure that our investments reap good benefits. And another idea in the long term, if not immediately, maybe 2-3 years down the line, is to even have the IBM facilities in those plants so that our product range is wider and our risk is mitigated.
Okay. So, sir, any particular reason why we are waiting for Grasim to allow us to open a plant in South? Like, why can't we open a food and FMCG plant even without Grasim?
See, today we are in a position to go ahead with the current expansions, and there are so many things on hand. We have the IBM going on at Sultanpur, pharmaceutical unit coming up at Sultanpur. We have a new land taken at Daman where we are forced to complete the plant there in the next 6 months for our west-based food and FMCG majors. And we have Panipat to be completed by end of 23. And there we are planning a food and FMCG. So with so many projects on hand and so many molds and robots to be installed and erected, South can wait for a little bit, and sooner or later, once we have the commitment from any of the clients like ABG or others, we'll be in a position to take a call on it. And South being not so very far from Hyderabad, we'll be in a position to handle till then.
Okay. Thank you. Got it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikram H., an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes. Good evening, Mr. Rao, and thank you for the opportunity. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Go ahead.
Okay. So first of all, sir, given that we are already midway through the third quarter, any sense across your various business segments in terms of demand?
See, demand-wise, touchwood, we are on a pretty strong wicket. The problems of printing labels and getting the labels in time is still continuing till October. But situation might improve from November because our machine is under trials now, and probably it will reach our site in the second half or end of November. So from then, things will improve because there's not much depth. Typically, second and third quarters are weak because in the second quarter, there will be heavy rains, movement of goods and painting activity comes down, and even consumption of frozen and dairy foods comes down in the second and third quarter. Though the festivals are there, some areas like sweets and some consumable products will improve, like edible oil and others. But soon after the festival, that is from October, November onwards, again there will be a lull period till December. So if you look at the historical data of Moltec performance, we always have the best Q1 and best Q4. And Q2, Q3 are typically below these two quarters. So by the time end of Q3, we will be coming out of the problems of printing capacity problems, and we'll be adding huge capacity. In fact, out of three machines we have, we'll be five machines by end of November or middle of December. And we are also planning a sixth machine with a much larger versatility. If it is selected and trials are successful, it also will be added by January end. So that means we are more than doubling our IML and label, HTL label printing capacity by January. And then we don't foresee any problem of losing sales, which happened to some extent in this Q2.
Got it. But from a demand standpoint, customers across the three segments, you're not seeing any slowdown?
Yeah, there's not much slowdown. Paint has not so grown in this quarter. I think the paints are up by only 4%. Whereas loops are pretty strong, they have gone up by 26%. That's not just because lubricant sales have gone up. That's basically we are able to bring in more clients into IML and also won some long-term orders from the private sector giants like Valvoline, Pennzoil and others. So that has enabled us to improve our overall numbers in the lubricant industry.
Got it. Second question, sir, is really on the following year, which is FY24. Any sense of what top-line growth you're looking for at a very broad level for 24 and 25, given many of your initiatives will actually come through, some in 24 and more so in 25? Any broad guidance?
See, our target has been always to be in the bracket of 15 to 20% volume growth. I think in this year, 22-23, we'll achieve that. Because we have a strong beginning, and fourth quarter will certainly be again strong. So this year we'll be achieving a historical growth in our company. We never crossed 15% volume growth in the past. at least past 20 years. So this year I'm confident our growth will be very close to 20%, unless you know any drastic things happen in the economy. We should be able to reach 20% volume growth for the first time in the history of the company. And we are aiming at maintaining that for the next 2-3 years in a row. The confidence comes from the fact that next year IBM ordinary products and a little bit of pharma products would be adding around 2-3% growth. And we continue to grow in Thinwall and two packs by a hefty 40% growth. That on a 24% it works out around 9-9.5%. The indications from the paint industry are they will be certainly in a double-digit growth. If that happens, we will be adding another 4-5% to the top-line growth. So all put together, my calculations comes for a 15% volume growth for sure. And if the pharma picks up a little bit and Panipat starts some production numbers and Daman adds some additional clients, we may be very close to 20. So for next year, 15 looks very easy to, I mean, definitely possible to achieve. As you correctly said, the year 24-25 would be again a strong year for us because the Panipat will be in a way, contributing in a big way, a reasonable way, and pharma will certainly be adding numbers in a decent manner. So for the next 3 years, I can see the range of 15-20% volume growth is possible.
And the last piece was really around your capital allocation. In terms of all the capex that you're planning, how are you planning to fund that? Because you obviously have internal accruals, you have debt, you could even do an equity raise. So any broad sense on that?
See, we have more than 100 crores of 120 crores of internal accrual and the net of dividend. It may be in the tune of around 90 to 100 crores. So that will be more than adequate to take care for next couple of years. But if any shortfall in that, we can easily borrow because our debt equity is less than 0.1 as of now, including the debt of working capital. So there is a tremendous scope to borrow in case of any big needs arise. I foresee the needs arising rapidly from 24-25 in the field of pharma IBM. But till that time, it will be the plans for paint companies. Even Asian Paints is talking about, I mean, today, don't take my word, they're also having some expansion plans in the next few years. And definitely we may get an opportunity to take part in those opportunities. But that may not happen in the next year, but maybe in the next 2-3 years. So looking at that, our internal generations and debt will be more than adequate to take care of annual investments in the tune of 100-120 crores.
Thank you. Mr. Vikram, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. We'll take the next question from the line of Kuvam Chug from Aditya Birla Sun Life Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. I had a question on our loops business. So even though we had strong growth year over year, sequentially, there was quite a sharp decline from Q1 to Q2, from over 2,600 tons to less than 2,000 tons. So what led to this decline in volume?
See, typically Q1 to Q2, there will be a drop in loop consumption all over the country because the movement of goods slow down in monsoons and the number of miles a truck clocks in a day comes down due to monsoon and disruptions on the travel. So generally Q2, Q3 are weak for lubricants. What 27% growth I projected or what we achieved, rather it is 30% growth in FY22 over the Q2 of last year. So on Q1, it is very difficult to reach such number because in Q1 we hit 55 crores and now it is 40 crores in the Q2. So that is almost a 25% drop, which is normal in our sales trend. That is why typically our Q2 and Q3 numbers are at least 7-8% below the Q1 and Q4 numbers. Q4 will be again an active part of the year where a lot of transportation happens, storage and consumption happens, and movement of goods happen. Painting goes on a full brisk speed during summer and pre-summer. Lubricant movement and consumption increases. food and FMCG, mainly frozen foods and dairy, shoot up in the summer. So that is why our first quarter and fourth quarter, that is, I would say rather Jan to July, June ending, is the best period for our product demand. And the remaining 6-7 months, they taper down. They pick up a little bit briefly around Diwali, but again, there will be a lull for a couple of months. And then the storing for the next season starts from January. So Jan to June is our best time. Then things will be slower in the Q2 and Q3 because of the reasons I explained.
Okay. And in our first quarter conference call, we highlighted that there was a Def brand of lube that was driving growth. So that trend has continued into Q2, or was that more of a one-off for just Q1?
No, you mean that DEF product I mentioned?
Yes.
Yes, that continued to be one of the reasons for our decent growth in the lube sector. Actually, lube sector has not grown more than 5-6% in this year, but we grew by 30%. That's an indication that still the DEF growth is coming in. And also, some of the majors in the private sector have given us long-term agreements, like what they did, one or two did last year. This year, again, another 2-3 clients have given that by shifting more of their products into our gambit, also including some of the IML conversions. So that has given us good growth in lubricants.
Okay. And on the pump side of the business, in an earlier conference call, you highlighted that Wipro has decided, has guided for scale up in volume towards the end of this fiscal, start of next fiscal year. Is there any update there? Is that still going
on? Actually, in fact, the indication from them is there will be a further delay. So in the pump segment, we are not seeing a great future, but definitely we are penetrating into Himalaya and other majors. But with them, even they have committed volumes to some other suppliers. So a part of the volumes they have started taking us. A trial lot was supplied, but major volumes would start from December, January. Even then, the volumes would not cross more than 1.5 million per month, as against our capacity of about 6 million per month. So on that front, we are still on the defensive. But as I said, the capacities are fungible. All the machines, auxiliaries, land building, everything that has been set for the project, a product within our unit one at Annaram, are being used for all other products, whatever are possible on those machines, like thin wall food products and caps and other closures. So absolutely the machines are put to best use. Only thing is the investments on the mold and assembly machine that is costing put together 3 crores are partially utilized. And that will continue to be so for next few quarters is what I guess. Because until Wipro sets up in Hyderabad and start picking up the committed volumes of 2 to 3 million, the production requirements of pump may not go up.
Thank you. Mr. Chug, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. The next question is from the line of Rahul Maheshwari from Ambit Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hope I am audible.
Yeah.
Yeah, good evening, sir. I just had one question as you mentioned about the volume growth and plus the plans which would be coming towards the pharma and the IBM. Can you also give some color on the EBITDA per kg, how it will scale up looking from a 2 to 3 years perspective from currently at near about 40 per kg?
Yeah. From the basic EBITDA impact, as I have mentioned in my note to BSE NSC, is that maintenance and breakdowns in our printing and printing capacity could not be ramped up in time. We have incurred additional costs in procuring those labels from outside with you know, higher price and lower quality, which has impacted our output reasonably, not very badly, but certainly about a tune of around 1.5 crore additional cost has been incurred. And there is an increase in the power cost in all three states where, major states where we are operating, that is Daman, Hyderabad, and Andhra Pradesh. These three places, they have shot up the power cost by around 12 to 15%. So we need to now go recover it from those our clients, which would have take few months, but certainly will be in a position to recover in the next few months. So these are the reasons for the dampened EBITDA. Otherwise, the EBITDA would have been healthily at around 42, 43 by now. Having said that, with the addition of pharma in the year 23-24 to a very small extent, but from 24 to 25 in a decent manner, we'll be in a position to ramp up the EBITDA numbers towards 45 levels. So as I indicated last quarter also, in a couple of years, we can look at EBITDA in the region of 45. And another reason for my confidence is we are ramping up our printing capacity by almost 100% by this December, which will enable us to make all the labels in-house and stop buying labels from outside, even HCL labels from outside, which itself will be a saving of about 3 to 4 crores per annum, even at OPM level. So that will improve the margins for the next few months, soon after the capacities are created by January. So with these two points, one is in-house making of entire labels, second is getting into pharma over the next 2 years would be a driver for our EBITDA improvement.
So as you mentioned, because of the sharp jump in the power cost, how much leeway of pass-through we can recover from the clients? How the agreement or how the terms is being set so that whenever going forward also any such situation of higher cost takes place, what is the lead time takes place to recover the entire high cost which is being borne by?
These kind of conversion costs, we talk to our clients once in a year. So we won't take them up on a monthly basis. See, whenever the labor costs are enhanced by the Department of Labor and power costs are increased by the electricity boards, we take up the matter with the clients and they typically take 3-4 months to approve it. 70-80% of them approve it, another 20-30% of them will drag on it for a while. But certainly maybe in 6 months to 1 year time, they will definitely cover up those costs.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Reddy, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hi, sir. So my question, first one, is regarding the export orders. So can you brief on quantity involved in export orders? I can see from our quarterly presentation. So what are the margins possible after shipping costs and all?
Yeah, shipping costs are now under control, not only for Middle East, but also for USA. And I'm glad to inform you, though they are not very huge orders, the beginning has taken place with exports to USA. The numbers are slowly scaling up. I don't have the exact revenue number, but I think in the region of about this year, we might do at least 2 to 3 crores or maybe 3, 4 crores worth of exports to USA. That is for various food products and even restaurant packs in the Indian restaurants mainly, and also maybe other stores. With this entry, we are even planning some BD efforts, business development efforts in USA later in the year, so that there are enough customer references for us from our Indian clients or, NRI clients who are now currently buying from us. And those can be used to even get into the, leads from the direct consuming clients in USA, like B2B. So that opportunity can only add sizable numbers, but this will be an opportunity of maximum 5 to 6 crores per annum. But that will be with a decent margin and, decent quantities.
Yeah, thank you. And regarding, is it only for FMCG or are we looking into IBM kind of?
No. Currently, it's all FMCG because in IBM, we are new entrants. So, food and FMCG is the one area where we have pretty strong presence, pretty wide product range. So, that is where we can convince foreign buyers on our strengths. Talking about IBM at this stage is too premature because we are just entering with one or two products and maybe another 10-12 products of pharmaceutical. Though they will be exported to Indian pharma companies. who fill their products and export. Of course, we may get some export recognition for that, but direct exports we can only start after our products are adopted by pharma companies in India. Then we can directly find exporting of these containers to various countries, not only USA, for other filling companies which fill their tablets and powders and sell to US and Europe. They will be buying from us. So that is another opportunity, but that's a long shot, sometime after 24-25 onwards.
Thank you, sir. My next question is regarding the raw material cost. Also, how much is a mix of the recycled and normal plastic?
Raw material is stabilizing. The prices are stabilizing in the region of 105 to 110 for the last 4-5 months, which shot up to 140 during February, March last year. In this year, last financial year. And now they are hovering around 105 plus or minus 3-4 rupees for the last 4 months. So there is some kind of stability there.
Thank you. Mr. Reddy, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. We'll take the next question from the line of Gyananjan from Value Educator. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Is there any update regarding QR coded IML? Have any clients launched it on the market?
Yeah, I explained about QR coded IML just a few minutes ago. There is a revived inquiry from Castrol because they have found some issues in their supply chain related to tampering and misuse of containers. But they are asking for a complete solution, including the cap or spout to be QR coded, which is a little challenge we are trying to address. Meanwhile, Volvo is also taking steps in the direction, but concrete things have not yet happened. But hopefully, in this quarter, we'll be able to move a little bit ahead.
Okay. My next question is regarding IBM pharma bottles. Is it also possible to manufacture pharma bottles via extrusion blow molding? If yes, then...
There are bottles which are beyond 1 liter or beyond 800 ml are produced by EBM. Even right. We may have to have one or two machines of EBM ultimately once our product range is established.
Okay, so, okay, for large capacities.
Larger bottles, not for bottles below 500 ml. It's not viable and it won't give the kind of finish which IBM can give.
Right. So, like, is there any margin difference between IBM and EBM pharma bottles? Like,
there will be definitely a EBM, within EBM, EBM pharma bottles will fetch you anybody much higher margin than the regular bottles because of the care you need, because of the hygienic conditions you have to maintain, because of consistency you require to deliver. Whereas in other products like edible oil packs or shampoo bottles, not that nobody is bothered, but definitely they are not as much concerned about the hygiene and consistency as a pharma company would require. So definitely there will be a difference in value addition pricing between different segments.
Thank you. Mr. Ganshin, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. We'll take the next question from the line of Kuamchu from Aditya Birla Sun Life Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Just one more question for me. Could you share the volume breakup by paint, lubes, and F&F?
Volume breakup in paint is 4,850 tons. Lubes is about 2,000 tons. And 1,520 tons in food and FMCG, including QPAC.
Okay. Okay. This is very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Janish Karia from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up. If I look at the realizations for the foreign FMCG segment, they have rather been flattish for the quarter. For any specific reason for the same?
Yeah, that's what I mentioned to you. There are, in the note also we have given to BSC NSE, that due to the purchase of IML labels from outside, we have incurred initial costs in this quarter particularly because maintenance space, especially electronic space, semiconductor-based space, were not coming in time, leading to longer breakdown of machines, which pushed us to buy the labels from outside at a higher cost. It is not only higher cost, lower quality and higher rejections, which has caused stagnation of EBITDA in this quarter. And even we lost some sale to the tune of 3-4%.
So the additional cost incurred is reduced from the revenue for the segment, if I'm correct by what you say.
There are two impacts. One is we could not execute all the orders in the mainly IML product range. And thereby we lost some sales revenue. Second is we have incurred higher cost by getting these labels printed outside and having the issues of quality and rejection, which would have been avoided had our capacity expansion happened in time or had the space for our machines were available in time. Both these two issues have caused a little loss of revenues and increase the cost of IML label overall.
Okay, no problem. I'll take it offline.
Decent improvement in the EBITDA.
But I'll take it offline with you, partner. And second question is with regards to the IBM pharma project. So the realization that we are targeting, will it be at par with the competitors or at the discount or How will we be positioning ourselves in that market?
See, this is too premature to talk about the pricing strategy for pharma products, but definitely there is a entry point through competitive pricing, but that whatever we pass on can be easily achieved through proper productivity management, which Moltec is having a strong in-depth knowledge. So we hope to be maintaining the similar pricing and enjoy the similar EBITDA margins which the current competitors are enjoying. There is no need to offer huge discounts and try to get into a price war because there is a expected increase in the demand for these bottles and caps in the coming quarters. As I said, in coming years at least, in couple of years, huge plants are coming up at Hyderabad in the pharma park. Already the city is moving towards that. A lot of lands, real estate activity started towards that part of the city. And land allocations have been started in October. So we will be definitely seeing clients coming up by 24-25 in 2 years' time. And being located in Hyderabad and well-established contacts with the pharma companies in supplying some of the bulk packs, 10-liter, 20-liter packs, in a small way, And our reputation being one of the best molders in the country, we don't need to compete on pricing front to enter. But if that be the case also, we have the wherewithal to maintain our EBITDAs and improve our EBITDAs rather.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much, Oma.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Rao for closing comments.
I thank you very much for all the participants taking interest in our company's Q2 performance, and thanks for the interest shown and the time spent. I also thank Manish of Antique and the coordinator for the time and opportunity. I wish you all a good day and enjoy the evening. Thanks and bye.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.